This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Follow us on all the social medias. Get us wherever you get your podcasts from. Today, we are talking about kind of a revolutionary voting system with something that will actually enable you to vote for people you like. My guest today is Craig Cayetano. He's the newly elected co-chair of the Green Party of New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Thank you, Heather. Great to be here.
So, you are an advocate for ranked choice voting, which I think is also awesome. And the Green Party in general also supports ranked choice voting. So I figure the first thing we should do is talk a little bit about what is ranked choice voting and how is it different from the voting system we currently have?
So ranked choice voting has actually been around for a very long time. As I've learned and attended different seminars and hearing the history of it, it's been utilized in New York City in the past. There's a lot of different cities across the country that are utilizing it that most people aren't aware of, San Francisco. And basically what it comes down to is instead of having, you know, want the winner from the majority, you're having everybody ranked out on the ballot. So if there's three candidates, five candidates, you basically will rank your preferences. If you then, after the first round, there's still a majority, 50 plus one, then you have a declared winner, no problem. It's in the situations where you have a lot of races that have more than one candidate and the votes start to get split off. Now what you do is you would go to a second round. The one that would fall off in terms of the lowest amount of votes after the first round, their votes, their second votes, so they get reassigned to the other candidate. And you keep proceeding until you have a majority. That's the big difference between the system that we're used to currently.
So instead of what we're doing right now, like if I was, there was a presidential election and I wanted to vote for you, I would just go in there, just pick Craig Cayetano and that's it. I'd be done. But under ranked choice voting, I could actually pick multiple people, right?
Exactly. And that's the case that would have helped with other races, even that we experienced here in New Jersey last year. There was a lot of allies, really good friends that would have loved to have supported our Madeline Hoffman. But they would then fall back that, well, we can't have a Huguen get into the race. So they would then use that excuse as to then saying, well, I'm going to hold my nose and vote a Menendez. So if we had a system like ranked choice voting then, we would have been able to have no further issues or any other type of qualms to say, hey, look, I'm going to cast my first ballot for Madeline, my second for Menendez, and third for Don Quixote, whoever you wanted.
Right. So that way you can, I guess there's this myth, or I would like to call it a lie, but we'll stick with myth, that if you don't vote for one of the two duopoly candidates, then you're voting for the other one, even though your vote's really, that's not how voting works, but let's just say that that were true. So people are afraid to vote for their values, really. They vote for what they think is the lesser of two evils. But really, in a lot of cases, that's still kind of evil. Like down here in our district in CD2, you know, we have Jeff Van Drew, who is not at all representative of progressive values. And we had a third party candidate who represented every single progressive value you could think of. But people were afraid to vote for him because he was running against, well, pretty much a white nationalist. So, you know, in cases like that, you could vote, okay, for this independent candidate first, vote for Jeff Van Drew second. And you actually have a chance of getting somebody who represents your values. Can you go into a little bit more about like the different rounds of voting? I think that people might be a little confused about that still.
Yeah, so it's essentially that if you have five candidates after the first round, there's no majority. The one with the less amount of votes is going to drop off. The second round starts. Those votes from that fifth person then would get reassigned. So if there was their second supporter might end up getting propelled up and have enough of a majority then. If you don't have a person after a third round, the same thing just follows suit. Those votes just continually will just tail off and the computer and the software can analyze this and assign the votes properly. And the other thing with ranked choice is people don't realize it. It's not just about this. It's about paper ballots, verifying and validating elections. It's also about holding everybody accountable in terms of when they run a race. You don't have to go into the mud and start mudslinging. Because in the end, if you have a ranked choice voting situation and you're on a ballot, the nice woman I met from Maine was in the primary. In the end, a lot of candidates would just say, hey, look, if you're not going to rank me, you know, first, make sure you rank the other one second because they're still a good person. If anybody did try to get negative or go low again in the traditional mudslinging of politics, that would actually make them look bad. And in the end, that might hurt their chances overall in terms of the campaign. So there are some people that say, well, heck, I'm going to go in. I'm going to not rank everybody. Now, your vote then has no value after the first round. So if you just go in and you just put one candidate on the ballot and you take your ballot and say, you know what, I'm not going to vote round two, three, or four, whoever my other person is, your vote just dies. If your candidate isn't the majority winner in the first round, your vote has no say. So it almost compels you to participate and actually engage. You'll learn about the candidates. You're going to make other choices, a secondary choice as well. So it really makes it more of a participatory system that we don't have already.
Right. And I think the fact that what you mentioned there was kind of, you know, important of it actually can elevate the conversations that we're having if we're not just attacking somebody, if we're actually talking about issues, then that can actually elevate and further goals of society. If, you know, this person's like, well, here's what I think we should do. Here's what I think we should do about this issue rather than this person sucks because, or, you know, the Donald Trump sucks. But if you're not saying something other than Donald Trump sucks, you're not really advancing anything politically. You're just saying Donald Trump sucks. So if we can actually talk about like, okay, this is this thing, this is why I support it, this is this thing, this is why I support this different thing, we can actually come up with much better solutions than we currently could possibly come up with our two binary choice system we have currently.
Exactly, exactly. And there's a lot of allies and friends out there that I've helped campaigns for, you know, before migrating to the Green Party, independent campaigns, Democratic campaigns, and all they do is they start to look at their voter list, things like that. Nobody really analyzes why are those people unaffiliated? Why are those people independent? And a lot of it is because they've had a distaste or distrust to either the system or feeling their vote isn't going to matter anyway, things like that. This is a way to re-engage these people, and this is how that we're going to need to get everybody on board with this. We have other people and other groups and other coalitions that have been starting to wake up to the idea. Obviously, yes, it's going to save money. You don't have to have a runoff election. I was going to bring up an example of Chicago. Look at, they just had a mayoral race with 14 candidates. So obviously when you have that many candidates, you're not going to have a majority. So in the end, they had a runoff. And in the runoff, you had such low numbers coming out again. Are you really getting the pull of the people and the word of the people out there to that vote? Because now you're dragging them out twice for the same election? No. This is how we can rationalize it and approach it and bring it to the attention and forefront that it deserves. And obviously Maine is the big example with the past congressional election last year.
So Maine has implemented ranked choice voting now, right?
It's a real sordid history with Maine. They've been working on this since 2015. What happened was they got together, they had to get enough signatures to get it through as a referendum and a question, and they were able to do so and pass it, and it had record numbers. Then, obviously, the elected officials were trying to find ways to knock it down, delay it, stall it, say it's unconstitutional. So, and again, they had to do another round to get it through, and it even was upheld to happen in the primary. So they actually had a primary race first last spring and then held the elected race last fall. And that's where even more challenges came out because in the second district, there was not a majority after the first round. So the exit polls were a little more accurate and they were saying that the incumbent Republican was going to lose. So obviously his camp was all amped up and worried. So they started to put through their legal procedures to block it and question the whole election. So the state did upheld it and it took a long time, but everybody came back and said, no, this is ratified. This is official. This is going to uphold. So it took more than one day. So politics then won't be a spectacle. So maybe the news agencies, corporate media aren't going to be fans of it because they can't make a spectacle out of the election anymore. It took
right. They couldn't have that election night coverage.
Yeah, what are you going to have? Poor Wolf's going to be sitting there, you know, Anderson and all them. They're going to be sitting there just holding their cup of coffee and just staring at a board, waiting for hopefully a majority. But you know what? It was great because there's videos out. You can go to Maine. You can search on their electoral pages. Fair Vote has more information on this too, which is a great organization behind all this. And basically, they showed a video of how the votes tallied and how the rounds went. And it's been held up, and knock on wood, now they're pushing it through the rest of their legislature to come down and to do like local elections and things like that.
So how did it play out in Maine? It was the Democratic candidate that finally got a majority of the votes? Is that
correct? In the end, the independent candidates kind of tailed off after the second round, third round, and then those choices votes went to the Democratic candidate, and that's why that Democratic candidate was propelled up then.
Okay. So why don't we have this yet? Like, what is the opposition saying why they don't support it?
Well, obviously, if we look at our state of New Jersey, you've got a lot of people that are going to say, we've worked hard, we have our Democratic County Committees, we have our elected leaders, we don't need to bring this in, we don't need it, we're fine. But truth is, we're not fine. Like election after election, we've had record low voter turnouts, whether it be from the gubernatorial race or to the presidential election, you've got record low turnouts nonstop for every race. So we're really not reaching the people here. You really need to find a new way to crack the ceiling. And Maine was able to do it. So now since Maine has done it, Massachusetts is getting on board. Alaska is going to have the primary for 2020. That's going to be a ranked choice vote. And there's a lot of other cities across the country that have been utilizing it. But it's just getting it through to the state legislature or on as a referendum. And they have to get through to everybody. So, you know, knock on wood, we've had Tim Eustace, who was a former assemblyman in the 38th. He was the one that proposed an instant runoff bill back in 2016. Since then, he's moved on. We have new representation. But that bill was circulating for a little while, and it obviously didn't get picked up. It didn't go into committee. Unlike other states, we can't just grab signatures and get our own ballot referendum. We need to go through assembly. So there was a new bill just in March introduced by Andrew Zwicker, which is an encompassing full-fledged ranked choice voting bill, which up and down covers everything. There might be one thing with our state constitution for the gubernatorial race, which we would have to amend, but all across the board, everything else, this thing should be able to be propelled. It's A5205. Establishes ranked choice voting procedure for elections for governor, state senate, state general assembly, U.S. Senate, House of Representatives, presidential primaries, and general elections for electors of U.S. president and vice president. So this is a comprehensive bill that will basically cover all those major races. It's just now, it's been a couple months, it hasn't made it to committee yet. What can we do here? And what I started to do is, you know, just to pull together all these resources, I started Ranked Choice Voting for New Jersey on Facebook. Simple group, simple page, which we can get and share articles, not just about New Jersey, but what's going on in New York or Chicago or Massachusetts, even Connecticut, all these other areas now that are implementing their form of Ranked Choice. It can be on a lower level or on a state level. So definitely we need to get the word out there. We need to start to reach out to all these other groups and organizations that we have allies with and bring it into the conversation.
So let's say we pass it here in New Jersey. What is different? Like, do we have to change the voting machines, or can we still use the same voting system that we use? What does it look like for the average person when they go in?
Good question. I was speaking to a friend who's down in Union County, and they're spending money on new voting machines. And it's about time. The voting machines up in here, right, part of the world are, I don't know, 30, 40 years old, so they're not going to be compliant. But these machines are shot anyway. They need to really move on. So the newer machines that they're investing in other parts of the state, yes, all it is a software update, software patch. And the whole thing is it does print a paper ballot. So that's the whole thing. Part of the bill does state, obviously, you're going to have to make sure that the system is able to implement the ranked choice voting. And that is actually some of the reasons why these other cities and states have been kind of, even though it's approved, they've been just waiting for state law changes or to upgrade their voting machines. Memphis, Tennessee has had it adopted in 2008. They're still waiting. Davis, California, 2006, still waiting. Michigan, Ferndale, 2004, still waiting. Sarasota, Florida, 2007, still waiting. So many like local cities have been ahead of the game in terms of getting it passed, but they can't get it utilized because they don't have the money to get the machines that they need.
So I think it was important what you said with the paper ballot. Like, I hear a lot of people say that they were very concerned with Russian hacking in this last election, that perhaps the voting machines had been compromised. So with something like this, when you're upgrading these machines that to get machines that print a paper ballot, that eliminates that concern, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And that's the thing that Maine paid extra attention to. They wanted to make sure that this there was no qualms about the legitimacy of this election. So there's a paper trail. They have all the stats, and definitely you can go on their website and see it's definitely held up. It's definitely the best way to proceed for all around. You eliminate all that type of justification.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And I think that may be a way that we can get more people on board just at something like this. Like, if we need to upgrade the machines already to provide that security that so many people are nervous about, then if we're upgrading the machines for that, then we have that in place that we can put in this sort of system at the same time.
Definitely. You're killing two birds with one stone. And again, in the meantime, what we're going to need to do is share articles, share this Facebook page. You know what? They're in election season again. So print out a copy of the bill, A5205. Track down your state assemblymen, state senators. Drop it on their desk. Hey, look, you're running for re-election. Do you support this? Do you even know about it? A lot of them, I brought it up at a forum last year with we were at and with Diane and a few other candidates, and they refused to bring it up. They ignore it. So we're going to need to bring the message to them. Just like we have with other things in New Jersey, we're going to have to take the mantle here and go right to them and ask them to take a side on this and read it and get behind it.
And something else, like just fairly recently within the past, I think it was maybe 6 months, there was a gerrymandering bill in the state of New Jersey where they were trying to lock in the districts so that there was never really any competition, because that enables politicians to feel very safe. And when politicians feel safe, then they don't have to represent their constituents. So something like this kind of takes away that safety from politicians, where somebody could come along and could be a better candidate and could dethrone them, as it were. And if they don't have that safety, then you don't end up with situations like, you know, the friends of the Norcross family that just got, what was it, $1 billion of tax money from the state. If then, you know, they had something like this where you didn't have that fear and they had to constantly be proving they were the best candidate, that kind of thing couldn't happen, right? Like, politicians would be a little more representative of their constituents.
Correct. So, and again, having allies, not just in, you know, one party, but in multiple parties and talking to people, I'm hearing this. There's camps of, you know, diehard Democrats, diehard Republicans that families have held county committee seats, elected seats for way too long. They promote their chosen people. This is a way to take the power back, literally, in our hands. And we don't have to worry about then these little fiefdoms that continue to arise and try to hold us back. It's literally the only thing that I can see that's going to normalize the electorate here. And I commend the people that came out to stop the Democrats pushing through that gerrymandering bill, because it was the Democrats going against other Democrats that basically told them, look, we got to stop.
So have you tried reaching out to any of these? You know, there's all these little groups that sort of sprang up after Trump got elected. You know, there's Indivisible, there's South Jersey Women for Progressive Change, Working Families, all these kinds of groups. What have you reached out to them, and what kind of responses have you gotten so far?
So a few years ago, I was at there was a protest in Morristown and at one of the town meetings, and I was there, and the Working Families was there pushing through something, and I pulled one of the guys aside and basically asked him, you know, what have we done with the Eustis bill for instant runoff? And they said, nobody's going to touch that bill. They're going to just let it sit and die. They don't want to bring it up. They don't want to lose power. So since then, I've made inroads with a few other groups, and I have a lot of friends that are in other groups. So the positive word has been they're open to it. So I've reached out to Fairvote also. We've had a couple email exchanges through seminars I went to and some of the contacts there. But also I've had friends in Indivisible 5th District, New Jersey 8 for Progress. So there's a lot of different groups that are open to the idea. Hopefully we can now, with new maybe leadership now in New Jersey Working Families, can get back to them and see if we can get them to sit down and talk about it and try to present it also.
So in addition to actually reaching out to your politicians, you should be reaching out to these groups that you're a member of and getting them on board, catching them up to speed on this and pressuring basically everyone. If this is something that sounds good to you, it's not just the politicians that you need to pressure. You need to pressure every organization you're in, if you're on a county committee position, pressure the rest of your committee. You know, I think there's a lot of work that we still need to do, but it's so important work. Something like this could really revolutionize voting in New Jersey.
Yeah, I call for anybody listening to this, sharing this, reach out to whoever you know and some of the organization coalition, start to spread the word. Definitely, it's going to take each of us involved and engaged to make change on this, because the system does not want to endorse it in New Jersey. They don't even want to talk about it. So it's up to each and every one of us to make this happen.
Could you mention those resources, the websites that you talked about, the website, the Facebook page that you created again, just so everybody can make sure they go and follow those Facebook pages, go on those websites, get the research. You know, like, we had to kind of brush through things very quickly here, but there's a lot of research and resources out there on this.
Oh, yeah. So you could definitely check out, the big one, obviously, is Fairvote. They've been the big group behind a lot of these initiatives throughout, I'd say, the last decade. Common
and that's
Cause.
Fairvote.com.
Yep, Fairvote.com, CommonCause.com also. And then you can also check again Maine's electoral website, their state website on that. And just the little thing we're doing right now is Ranked Choice Voting for New Jersey on Facebook. And, you know, obviously we'll expand. The goal for me this year is with that to get a sit down with Zwicker, with some of these other organizations, try to host a forum, because we'd love to have a forum where we can pack in 300 or so people, maybe have a little fun activity, teach everybody how it can work and how it can apply to certain races that might have occurred, and make it fun and obviously educational on one.
Right, that's awesome. And before I let you go, I just wanted to again congratulate you on being elected one of the co-chairs of the Green Party of New Jersey. I think it's going to be a good year with you at the helm. Do you have any goals for the year that you'd like to see happen?
Goals are basically to just meet everybody, engage, talk, try to bring everybody into the spectrum. Again, the Green Party to me is a different vehicle than what some people like to portray it. I love to have conversations with people that are just totally disenfranchised from the two other parties. And they do, in their own eyes, are politically engaged and charged. They just don't find the place that they feel is a home where they can, you know, do something and build something. So my goal is just to basically do that. And hopefully we can, you know, have a good, strong year building towards a 2020 and everything in the future.
What are you most looking forward to in the next coming couple of years for the Green Party?
Obviously, we diversify, we build, we keep organizing and engaging people in a positive way, showing that this is the platform for us. I want to see more people come in and run on local elections, state elections, and then obviously have more of a support for when we have our congressional races and even presidential races. The platform obviously always will exist to run for president. They want to make 5%. There's a lot of merit behind that. The Green Party is going to exist, not going to go away. We're just going to be engaged. We're going to work with each other and show that this is the platform, what everybody should, if you read it, be behind.
All right. It was great talking to you today. Thank you so much for being here. Do you have any last closing words you'd like to add before we call it a day?
Well, thanks, Heather. Love being here, and great to speak to everybody. Please check it out. Check us out again on Facebook. Check out what the bill is that Zwicker's been working on. So far, so good. I'm very happy that he's presented it. We just need to get it to committee. So it's going to, again, come to each and every one of us. Check it out. It's A5205. Thanks.
What committee will it go into before I let you go? Do you know what?
The elections. There's like an elections committee. I was trying to pull that up. But yeah, that was the last thing. I saw a thing about elections in New Jersey. It's got to go.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Craig. To my listeners, thank you so much for joining us here today. We appreciate you more than you can possibly know. We try to be a voice for the activist community to bring to you things like this that you're probably not hearing about from the two major political parties, but things that can really transform society into something better, because that's what we're about. We're about activists and we're about transformation here. To that end, we take no corporate money. So we can be a voice for the activists, we need to rely on the activist communities to support us. If you can, please go onto our website, www.njrevolutionradio. Click on that donate button. You can donate on Patreon, you can become a monthly subscriber, you can donate on PayPal, whatever works for you. We would not be here if it was not for you guys. So we really appreciate you so much. The future is yours to create. Go out there and create it.